around the globe, it's time for your RM World Travel Connection with Robert and Mary Carey and Rudy Maxa on the SSI Radio Network.
Let's buckle up as the show begins. Rome, will I take you around this great big world?
Connect with the show anytime at rmworldtravel.com or on social media at RM World Travel. And now, welcome to America's number one travel radio show.
All right, here we go with hour two. Welcome back to America's number one travel radio show, everyone. It is just past 11 a.m. Eastern time. It is Saturday, June 29th, 2024, and we are happy to have all of you aboard with us. As we mentioned to begin hour one 60 minutes ago, yes, today Mary and I were scheduled to be broadcasting live at this very moment from the all-new Omni PGA Frisco Resort. We flew down to Dallas after last week's live show and kicked off the big Let's Go America Tour Frisco, Texas on Monday. Many of you know that from our social media channels and our Monday through Friday daily travel commentaries. But as can sometimes happen in life, there were several significant things that happened with show guests from the PGA and Omni. And since all of you know that the big Let's Go America Tour events and live remotes are the most prestigious and highest profile activities that we do with the show, it's important to Mary and me that we always deliver the best show possible to all of you out there, as well as for our network affiliates and our sponsors. So we punted, we returned to New York in our studio for this show, and we have plans to return to Frisco in December.
Yes, and with all that said, as they say, the show must go on, and although there is no Frisco today, we absolutely enjoyed our experiences there this week, and we're looking forward to sharing them and a lot more later this year as we reboot the big Let's Go America Tour Frisco, Texas. But right now, we are headed to the Patriot Mobile Show Hotline, is waiting to join us from the Washington, D.C. area, where we're heard on AM 570, AM 1250, FM 105.1, HD3 WRC Radio, is show friend Richard Abalafia. He's one of America's leading aviation analysts, and he's the managing director at Aerodynamic Advisory. Let's bring him in.
Richard, thanks for jumping aboard America's number one travel radio show again with us today.
Oh, it's absolutely great to be back. Thank you.
Well, you are very welcome. So, you know, listen, you know our long-standing passion for Boeing. The past few years have certainly been troubling ones, to say the least. Now the company is facing serious issues well beyond the 737 MAX or the 787 that we've talked about, as we have two astronauts stuck in space at the space station, unable to return to Earth aboard their Boeing Starliner spacecraft. Boeing knew there was a helium leak before the takeoff, but because of all the delays that had happened previously, maybe feeling pressure from SpaceX or whomever, they bet things would be okay. They were wrong. Four additional helium leaks developed after takeoff, you know, proving that betting for a win at Boeing these days just doesn't happen. So thoughts on the latest serious miscalculations by Boeing and the repercussions it's going to have on the company?
Yeah, I mean, this, of course, is just a huge black eye, especially if the astronauts have to be brought back to Earth by SpaceX, who, as you say, the whole point was to compete with SpaceX. So it's an enormous black eye. But it speaks to the kind of problems that the company has been experiencing in recent years. Most of them revolve around the disconnect between the senior management team and the very skilled and capable people who actually work on their products, whether on the design or manufacture side. So until they get new management, which is, you know, hopefully going to happen this year, you really can't take anything they say or promise with any degree of credibility. That's the sad reality. But the good news, again, is that change is in the offing.
And we hope the astronauts get home safely.
Yes. Yeah. So before we get into some of the commercial airline matters, Richard, I want to go the defense route with you a bit. Defense News, which is the trade magazine for the defense industry, for our listeners who may not know, they rank you as one of the 100 most influential aerospace defense consultants in the world. We love seeing that. So with that said, I'd like your state of the industry as it applies to the unstable global situation we find ourselves in now with the Russian war in Ukraine, Israel's war to end Hamas. We have concerns about China and a possible Taiwan conflict. There's always North Korea and Iran lurking as well in the background. Talk about the impact this has in countries globally as they look to add to their own defense, how it affects the industry, and even with tight economic conditions, how it, you know, it looks like it's forcing greater defense spending regardless of that.
You know, you've got this tremendous upsurge in demand both in the U.S. and pretty much all major export markets for obvious reasons, all in the headlines, whether it's the rise of China as a potential peer adversary or, of course, the horrors going on in Russia's Ukraine war. Everyone wants to bulk up. And there's been this tremendous put off, I guess you could say, deferral delay of recapitalization of defense equipment around the world. People were saying, well, why not keep your fighter jet 40 years? You know, and then all of a sudden, not only do they want more, but they want to replace the stuff that's been worn out. And stuff is being used at a much faster than expected pace because of that war. So all of this means that supply chains are really pinched, and you've got this industry that was sized for a post-Cold War world trying to scale back up again. At the same time, you have a lot of countries that not only want defense equipment and want it as quickly as they can get it, but they also want to create their own industries to compete out there and just to have for national self-sufficiency. And that, too, creates strains on our ability to build defense products and, indeed, just to build up the industries themselves.
There's no question about that. I'm going to go in again different direction with you, because as Mary and I are traveling, it seems that I'm noticing, and I'm probably looking for it, that's probably why, you know, more airplanes sitting around the outskirts of airports these days. Now, I'm guessing it has to do with some of the Airbus A320s waiting for engine repairs to their Pratt & Whitney turbofan engines. And, folks, that's because of the contaminated metal powder that was involved in making them that is leading to corrosion issues. So, you know, Rich, I think there were nearly 700 planes that were expected to be impacted by this issue. JetBlue and Spirit flies a lot of them. You know, have you heard how the repairs are progressing and, you know, how disruptive it's been so far to the airline operations?
Oh, tremendously disruptive. You're exactly right to say that is the biggest single cause of grounded jets, overwhelmingly. And it's a significant double-digit chunk of the fleet. And because of, well, the same constraints in the maintenance, repair, and overhaul shops that you've got in the new build side of the industry, it's taking a lot longer than expected. Matter of fact, the entire MRO industry, the entire sustainment industry, is really pinched for capacity. So you've got long waits for shop visits, and that, of course, affects their ability to get geared turbofan engines from Pratt & Whitney back in the air. It's going to take a few more years before things equalize, I'm afraid, and therefore the capacity that we would like to have just isn't there.
Yeah, it just seems to me, again, as Mary and I were going around, I keep pointing out to him, look at the jets over
Richard,
here.
And Richard, Airbus announced more parts shortages too, including interior cabin shortages this week, correct?
Yeah, that's right. The original ambition was to deliver 800 jets this year. That's been pulled back to 770. You know, hopefully that'll hold. And their ambition of getting to 75 jets per month by 26 has been moved to 27. Can't guarantee that either, you know, and whether it's the castings and forgings or seats or wherever, you know, labs and whatever else, the shoe is pinched everywhere.
Well, it is. And I'm going to build on that with you. You know, I'm looking at our clock and we're going to come up on a hard break in a little bit. So first thing I'm going to ask you, Richard, you have a little bit of time that we can hold you over for another segment?
I'd be thrilled.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, that's helpful because we have a number of things we wanted to get to. So we definitely appreciate that and we will get to. But one of the things I definitely am going to talk about when we get into it is just the lack of manufacturing and alternatives and so forth when it comes to air manufacturers or planes and so forth. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, folks, listen, that music tells us we need to pause for a quick sponsors break. Our conversation on the aviation sector of travel will continue with Richard Abulafia. He's going to stick around with us, which we appreciate that very much. If you've had an issue with an Airbus A320 plane or a flight that you've had planned that's been canceled or you've been rebooked on another flight, that's probably because it's been grounded. We'd like you to share that with us. Just go to rmworldtravel.com/contact. The G block is straight ahead. It all begins in 180 seconds. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're coming right back.
As we take a brief sponsors break, now's a good time to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, X, or LinkedIn at RM World Travel. We're coming right back. RMWorldTravel.com is your place for show archives, travel news, sponsor links, and so much more. You can also connect with Robert and Mary and the RM World Travel Show team. Now, back to America's number one travel radio show.
All right, as we continue with Richard Abulafia, thanks for sticking with us through that break, everyone. This segment of the show is sponsored by Seabourn.
Discover the Seabourn difference yourself on one of their luxury voyages and expeditions. This all-inclusive premier ocean cruising is at its best.
Yes, it certainly is. It's our favorite way to travel, folks. Seabourn can take you to all seven seven continents on aboard an array of curated voyages that are out there. And once you travel with them, well, they'll be your favorite too, I promise. Go check out Seabourn.com. You'll find all the show specials waiting for you, or find a link at rmworldtravel.com. Look under sponsors. All right. So, Richard, thanks for staying with us through that quick break. We're going to get right back to it. Mary, you want to lead
us off?
Richard,
thank you. So, every 2 years, the famous Farnborough Air Show takes place in England. It's coming up July 22nd through the 26th, just before the start of the Paris Olympic Games across the English Channel. Richard, our team mentioned you're taking your family this year and you're rushing your passports. Did you get that worked out before we get into the show?
So far, so good, but okay. You never know till you get it back.
That's right. All right. Fingers are crossed for you that it's expedited, truly. So talk a little about this famous industry air show, why you enjoy attending, and anything that you're anticipating from this year's gathering.
Well, it's all about the people, isn't it? You know, just after 35 years in the industry, you know, just running into old friends again from all over the world, walking down Chalet Row and getting into the business of building aircraft. Can't beat it. There's no doubt there's also, you know, just a happier air show when times are happy. And from a demand standpoint, if not from a supply standpoint, demand standpoint's excellent. Matter of fact, you sort of pause for a moment in the middle of orders rolling in, as I'm sure they will be, and say, wait a minute, we got 13,000 jets on backlog, having a devil of a time delivering. Do we really need another 1,000?
Right.
But nevertheless, it's an expression of confidence in the future of the travel business.
Well, that's right. And listen, we know that the Wall Street, they like to see those orders rolling in, so that's important too. Let's go this direction with you, because, you know, something we talk about on the show with other guests, and it's something we hear from, you know, our show fans out there. It's why we aren't seeing new technology, new designs in aircraft. So after last week's show, as Mary and I, you know, we headed down to Dallas, our driver was taking us down there, Larry. He's a super passionate guy about aircraft and aviation. We had a good conversation with him and tried to answer some of his questions. So like me, one of his favorite planes, it's the Boeing 757. But that plane was designed in the 1970s. It took flight in the early 80s. It ended production 20 years ago in 2004. There's been no replacement of that jet. Clearly, it was successful. You know, we even got with the 737 MAX a retrofitted jet from the 1960s. You know, I wasn't even alive, right? Right. So where I'm going with this is even the Boeing, you know, 787 Dreamliner now dates back 20 years ago. So how disappointing are you in the aviation industry that we have nothing new in development? And I won't count the 777X because that's also a retrofit in many ways. You know, and what do you account for the reason of this lack of innovation where the industry is going dormant?
Yeah, boy, this is the, I guess if I had to put the industry on a couch and be the psychoanalyst, this is exactly the heart of what I discuss, right? Can't we do this one simple thing and come up with a true 757 class route fragmentation machine, which can take people where they want to go across the Atlantic or intra-Asia or Middle East Europe, something between, say, 220 and 240 seats, about 4,000 or 5,000 nautical miles. And Airbus has something that's kind of, sort of there, but just not, doesn't do a very good job. It's not a 757. The A321neo LR and XLR, long production delays, and frankly, it's just not as good at getting to all those points. And Boeing, this is a failure of leadership. And the first thing I hope the new leader comes and does is announce plans for an aircraft in exactly this class. And if someone else joins the industry, someone like Embraer scaling up, or Jet Zero with a new innovative design, somebody, I hope that's exactly the segment of aircraft they target.
All right, if you're just joining us, we are talking with show friend Richard Abulafia. He's one of America's leading aviation analysts and managing director at Aerodynamic Advisory. So I want to talk about Southwest. CEO Bob Jordan is a show friend. We always appreciate when he joins us because our Texas trip was cut short. We didn't have a chance to visit with him. I'm not sure it would have happened anyway this time around since he has an activist investor on his hands looking to oust him. On Thursday, Southwest cut its revenue outlook, citing complexities and adapting its revenue management to current booking patterns. That's only going to ratchet up the pressure from Elliott Investment. They jumped all over this announcement, and I quote, to say further evidence that fundamental leadership change is urgently needed at Southwest. So clearly that means Bob Jordan. How do you see this situation shaking out, and do you have any personal thoughts or analysis on Southwest Airlines?
I'm a little concerned. You know, I think everyone in the aviation industry respects the legacy and heritage of Southwest and all they've accomplished. Having said that, there is the need for change. Should it be aggressive? I really don't think so. I'm a little concerned. Elliott Management, like a lot of other, you know, aggressive private equity funds, tend to do things on a relatively short-term basis, like, wow, you're sitting on cash. We would like some of that. And for a conservative airline that's always played it pretty straight, I'm concerned about the impact. And I'm also concerned that, frankly, Elliott might not be an expert in the aviation industry. You know, they might say, well, we need a premium strategy. You've never had premium seats, have you? Okay, good luck with that. Good luck getting premium seats in this constrained supplied environment. They might not have calculated that. So there's a lot going on, and I'm rather concerned, and I hope Southwest maintains what has made it great.
Yeah, it's such a great point. There's only so many hard changes you can make in the current environment.
Well, listen, that's going to be something that we are going to continue to follow on the show. But, you know, as Mary,
love the airline for who they are.
You summed it up correctly. Exactly right. And let's just say, so Richard, in no real surprise to me, world leaders, they can't agree on something. I just,
shocker.
Exactly. And in this case, it's related to sustainable airline fuels, or SAF. So folks, SAF, sustainable airline fuels. You know, the airline industry, they're working to lower their carbon footprint. Pretty much everyone agrees SAFs are a way forward, as the idea of flying around in battery operated planes, you know, that lacks viability. So the U.S. says crops that could be used for human food or animal feed, so think corn, soy, sugarcane, they're good to be used and even qualify for a tax credit. So that sounds reasonable. The EU, however, says they are not good. They are excluding crops they call feedstock, which would be in that human food or animal feed category. So airlines now, manufacturers, even investors, they're in this weird spot. So this is an issue as starting next year, flights taking off from European airports, they must have at least 2% of sustainable airline fuel in their tanks, and it's going to ramp up in future years. So any thoughts? You know, what are you hearing about this, and how can the U.S. force a solution?
Yeah, this has been an area of concern for some time because, broadly speaking, there are two different flavors of SAFs. One is, as you say, from feedstock, and the other is PDAL, power to liquid, where you just basically take electricity, combine it with water, somehow magically make something that serves as fuel. Either way, it costs more than regular fuel, which means either mandates or subsidies or both aren't necessary to make it happen. So far, the budget for SAFs, I hate to say it, but it's partially come out of the marketing budget for a lot of airlines. In order for it to be scaled up and for these potential new producers to make the kind of investments you're talking about, they need a little more reassurance that you'll have harmonized rules and, of course, the necessary mandates and subsidies and whatever else. And that's far from clear.
To say the least.
See how it's hard to harmonize.
So this week, Skytrax released their latest World Airlines Awards. None of the U.S. airlines made it in the top 20. Delta ranked 21st, United 42nd, Alaska 60, JetBlue 65th, and American 78th. No surprise there, since they decided to become a transactional airline last year. So poor showing for U.S. airlines when carriers like Singapore, Emirates, ANA, Cathay Pacific, and others. Why do you think that the airlines outside of the U.S., why do they get it and our airlines don't seem to get it?
Well, you know, when everyone talked about deregulating the industry back in the late 70s, a lot of it didn't apply to domestic routes. We still have, you know, cabotage and whatever. Basically, you can't fly a route between, say, New York and Chicago if you're a foreign carrier, which means the U.S., with the biggest domestic market in the world, it tends to have carriers that are protected. They might compete with each other, but they're not going to compete with a Lufthansa or a, you know, Cathay or a JAL. The other carriers are heavily international, which means they do compete, which means, of course, they've got so much of a greater incentive to provide better service.
Well, it really comes down to
Again,
supply and demand, and the market will generally dictate. This takes us back to all of us, to our economic classes, and clearly, in this case, Mary, and Singapore and Emirates and ANA, as you just said, Cathay Pacific, Qatar, they just are doing things that our airlines are not. Anyway, well, Richard, very nice connecting with you. I cannot believe, you know, July 1st is essentially here. You know, just 2 days. We're going to be on the back nine, to use a golf analogy, for 2024. We do hope you enjoy a good fourth this week, and thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Happy travels to you and your listeners.
Thank you, and enjoy the air show. Take care.
Thank you, Robert and Mary.
Take care.
Have a great fourth. Bye-bye.
All right, there goes Richard. Always nice connecting with him. We covered a lot with him today.
We did cover a lot, yes.
All right, after this quick sponsors break, Rudy's going to check in for the first time this hour. If you want to hear any of our conversation with Richard again, or any segment of the show for that matter, the full broadcast is typically posted by 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday to our website. Mary and I still have a lot to get to with you today. Stay with us, everyone.
today's edition of RM World Travel. We'll be right back. And you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.